you, worship team. That took away my nervousness. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how long. Go ahead and have a seat and go to Luke chapter 19. And it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this. You know what? Every time I get behind the pulpit, every time I go to the men's home, every time I walk into a facility, whatever, I get the gut feeling. They call it butterflies. I don't know what that is, but it's a gut feeling inside. You know what I mean? But it's good because you know that God is in control of all things. And I just want to take the opportunity and thank my Lord and Savior for just being able to minister the word here in our home church. You know, God, it's just this life in Christ, I want you to know something. It gets gooder and gooder as the days go by. I pray that Pastor Charles one day sings that song, it gets gooder and gooder as the days go by. I want to learn in Spanish, man, since you guys don't sing it in English. Amen. But, I mean, it just gets better and better. You know, sometimes obedience pays off. How many of you know when Pastor Danny's out and we kind of back him up in a lot of stuff that we do in the ministry, and he called me to go on some meeting. So actually, the mayor's breakfast, okay? And he had all his bodyguards. This is just freebies. I'm not getting started yet, okay? And he had all his bodyguards and everything. Then he had, like, the chief of police, and then the deputy dog, and about 10 police officers. You know what I mean? And I know I've been around for 30 years, but I still got some issues. Come on, somebody. Okay? I love police officers, but not to hang out with them. You know what I mean? But so I sat in the back, like you call sinners row. It's about 50, 60 people. And I was just there minding my own business. Yeah, I got their orange juice, I got their coffee, I got the little breakfast thing. Said, well, I'm out of here. And I got set up. One of the organizers, Pastor Williams, we need a favor from you. Come on over here. So he said, we're walking to the front. He goes up there. He said, oh, thank you all for coming. I'm going to call Pastor Williams. And I want the chief of police, all you officers, line up right here. Pastor Williams, come and say a prayer for these guys. And I just looked at him. I'll get you later, buddy. You know what I mean? But it was an honor and a blessing. And I was going to say something crazy. Man, these people only knew, these guys only knew who's praying for them. Come on, somebody. A true treasure out of darkness, you know what I mean? An ex-convict, ex-this, ex-that. But thank God that we've been set free. Come on, somebody. Thank God that we've been delivered, amen. Thank God that we don't go according to the past, according to whatever. And it just gets good and good. That was Thursday morning. Then Saturday, Friday night, I got set up again. You know me, I got invited to an appreciation dinner luncheon. Man, por eso estoy como estoy. Man, that's how I am, you know. But again, I just went in obedience, you know me. And I was saying, Sam, you're going to take over the Bible study, so I got to be over here. You know? So again, they honored me again for passing out 100,000 flyers for Convoy of Hope and all that. And it was pretty cool, man. It was just, I got a gift certificate for the cheese factory. You know what I mean? I've been by there a few times by the mall and said, one day I'm going to go in there when I have enough cash. Come on, somebody. And I thought it was like $20, $25. It's $100. So anybody wants to go with me to the cheese factory, let's go. Man, cool, man. It just gets gooder and gooder as the days go by. Come on, somebody. Then I did a Mexican wedding yesterday. Man, I mean, it just gets gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder, man. But, and I want to take you to a passage of the portion here of the Word. And it's in Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive to himself a kingdom and to return. So he called the 10 of his servants and delivered them some finances. And he said to them, occupy till I come. And some of your Bible might say business. Some of your Bible might say invest. But the point that I'm trying to get is occupy till you come. You know, we've been having some great services. If you don't say amen, I'll stop right now, man. You know what I mean? First of all, we have Pastor Danny. He's still stuck with that. He brought us out to put us in. And then Barbara came with that passion. Tienes que tener cora. You got to have heart. Because your heart's not in it, then you're not in it. Come on, somebody. You know, what I do it because of the gratefulness that God has done in my life. And if sometimes there's nobody around there, man, I'll climb up that ladder. I'll do whatever, you know, whatever it takes. I mean, I'll kick the devil with this foot. I'll pray for this one over here. Whatever it takes, come on, somebody, to accomplish what God calls us to do. But it should bring some passion. And then, of course, you know, Mark came with that position in ourselves. Then this morning, you know, Pastor Pat going to touch on the love of God. How many of you know that we can't do nothing without the love of God? Amen? Without nothing. And tonight, I'm just going to piggyback. See, how many of you, we get the best of the best? When it comes to me, you're just getting leftovers. Come on, somebody. Amen? Hey, I preached a message and leftovers one day. When I go home sometimes and I don't want to cook, I open the refrigerator. Hey, any leftovers in here? Okay, you're higher. Throw them in the microwave and boom, put some red chili on it and some cheese and it tastes good. Come on, somebody. But you're not getting leftovers tonight. I want to talk to you about your original occupation. Occupy till I come. You know, because I really don't believe that just going to church is the answer. Because if that was the answer, folks, then Jesus would have never died on the cross. He would have just kept religion as it was. They already got it going on. They go to the synagogue. They say the little prayer. They go home. But how many know that Jesus came and he made a very interesting statement? He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And he told the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, because you guys aren't doing nothing with it. You're just playing church. So if that was the answer, I was saved for about 3 years, and I was going to church. I was a law-abiding citizen. I had even had a job. Come on, somebody. Amen? The whole works, but you know what? I was miserable inside. I wasn't backsliding. I wasn't in sin. But I went and met with Pastor Danny and said, man, something's missing. I'm just going to church and going to work. I'm in the church and the same old thing. It was back in 1995 when we went to a conference in Rosarito, Mexico. And the name of the conference was called Answer the Call. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't get nothing out of it. I came back all bummed out, man. Went over there and this and that. I almost drowned it in the ocean and everything. I was like, man, you know, I was all bummed out. And Mr. Patrick's looking at me like, well, did you answer the call? And bam, like a brick, a stack of brick just hit on me like, boom, right there, every little message, boom, boom. And it was dying right there when I've been full-time ministry ever since. I answered the call, and I told my supervisor, boss, ¿sabes qué? Ya estuvo. I'm not working for you no more. I'm going to go answer the call. He said, you're crazy. How are you going to survive? How are you going to pay the bills? Hey, I made it this far so far, so don't even trip, man. You know what I mean? And it's been just like that, but that one was missing. It was missing something like that. See, and right here, when it talks about, you know, the kingdom, and I want to kind of base a little bit on Philippians 1:6, it says, be confident on one thing. When God begins to work in you, he's going to finish it. So every single one, including myself, I don't care if you're 30 years in the Lord or 30 years or 30 days, it doesn't matter. We are all under construction. When you get to heaven, you stand before God, there's no way. You know, this morning I was privileged to do a memorial service at a gravesite, and we're waiting for some family members. So I walked over to the guy that works there. I said, and I told him, hey, bro, all these people you bury, are you ready? What if it's your turn? Do you know Jesus? And just said, yeah, I just want to get some breakfast, he told me. I'll tell you what, I'll buy you breakfast if you give your life to Jesus. Hey, God makes no deals, but I do. Come on, somebody. If I have to buy you a burger, if I have to throw you in a lowrider, if I have to do whatever it takes, come on, somebody. Whatever it takes, but as long as we get people to come to Jesus. Amen? So, you know, it was just, you know, we're still under construction. So when we stand before God, he's not going to go by seniority. You can't say, well, I've been saved for 20 years. I'm good to go. I don't believe that. I believe that if you mess up, if you backslide, if you sin, if you get cut in the mix, right there in the mix, the Bible, I don't know what the Bible says, but my Bible says that if you get cut up in the mix, right, there remains no more sacrifice for your sins. And there's a little dangerous song right there. And I always tell people, hey, I'm not going to, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to gamble with my soul. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to read the word. I'm going to continue to serve God. I'm going to continue to do something. I'm going to continue to occupy myself. See, I learned that a long time ago. Let me jump ahead of myself. All right? Now, understanding one thing. See, you got to understand one thing. It's not just about all church, 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 church. It ain't about that. Come on, somebody. See, you got to learn to balance and prioritize your life. That's what has kept me all these years. And I have learned something. You know, hey, I can't do it right now, but I'll make a phone call. See, it is not the pastor's job to meet everybody's needs. But it is his responsibility to make sure all needs are met. That's why we need more men and women to rise up and find their power spot. Come on, somebody. Not just come to church. Okay, I'll see you later. I get a kick out of the men's home sometimes. Hey, brother, can you help me? And you know what they're responding? I'm not in the home no more. And I say, man, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. And now you know how I get him all the time? Thank you very much. Savannah, can you send me a couple of women to do a men's job? And I'm not picking on the homes. I just happen to hang out with them all the time. Hey, don't look at me like that, folks. How many of you guys remember? How many of you guys remember? God told me, you guys don't worship me, I'll get these rocks to worship me. Come on, somebody. He even got a donkey to speak one time. When Balaam was right there, and then the donkey just turned around and like, hey, dude, stop hitting me. He even used a fish one time to bring some finances. God will do the most unusual to get you to find your power spot, to get you to find where you're at. So we didn't. I don't know about you guys, but we are a chosen generation. You have been handpicked. You have been chosen. You have been selected. It wasn't like you just woke up one day, I think I'll go to church. I think I'll read my Bible. I think I'll give my life to Jesus. That was the first thing in our mind. If it wasn't for God, none of us would be here right now. But God had a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And that's why you got to stick it out no matter how hard it gets sometimes. Listen, the worst day in Christianity does not match nothing where God pulled us out of. Somebody talk to me. It doesn't match. It doesn't. Come on, folks. That's why I'm always smiling. That's why, and I've been through some things. Somebody know my story. Come on, somebody. My story is better than Hollywood movies. Come on, people. But see, theirs is science fiction and fake stuff. Ours is real. Come on, somebody. Every single man up here, Pastor Charles got a story. So even Mr. Goody Goody teacher, Dre, he's got a story to tell. Come on, somebody. I wish I had his testimony. Come on, somebody. Angelito. I still remember this guy, man. We're doing the drama, Ar Blancos. And then this guy is from the back tripping. It's a new guy. And he's hearing Pastor Blancos testify how he was a hitman for the Mexican mafia and how he killed people. And this guy was tripping. He said, Pastor Joe, did that guy really kill people? Was he that bad? Then there were, he was worse. He was a sinner like us. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what circumstances you were born. Listen, God happened to be there all the time. What matters now is who we can be, where we're going. We can't change yesterday. We can't eliminate nothing of our past failures. Listen, we use our past failures as stepping stones, come on somebody, till we get to where God wants us to get, and we learn from those experiences. And you can tell the enemy, hey, I'm not falling for that one again. And that's what takes me to this point. The reason why we have to understand and realize and find yourself, I mean, occupy, listen, you prioritize, you focus, you do the first things first, you forgot about everything else. You get so involved in the things of God that when the enemy does come, he will come, you have the power and the authority to look at the enemy and flip the script on him. How do you do that? I'll show you right now. You flip the script from like the way, remember how he did it one time with the disciples? Peter, I know. Paul, I know. Hey, you can turn it around on him and say, hey, Jesus, I know. Pastor Danny, I know. My church, I know. Come on, somebody. But who are you? You have the power to do that. That's why when you're so preoccupied, you find your power spot, you're so doing the things of the Lord, you ain't got time. You ain't got time. And besides that, look, I want to take you to verse 11. They said that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. How many of you know that we've been living in the end times in the time of Jesus? But how many of you know that God can turn everything around tomorrow? Look at the time frame that we're living in. So I don't know about you, but I would recommend that you serve God to your fullest because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Come on, folks. We have no idea. He could just flip it, turn around, and say, you know what, it's time. And the Bible says, look at it, says he went to a far country, and then he's coming back. In verse 12, that's Jesus. He went to his kingdom, but he's coming back. And if the Bible says he's coming back, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. Not like the scripture says in Peter that some are tripping, that, well, he's not coming back. But the Bible says that he's long-suffering, he's patiently waiting. That all come to repentance, that none shall perish. Can you imagine that? There's somebody in here holding up the move of God. If you just repent tonight, we'll be home tomorrow. We have an altar call, okay? Okay, that's me. Come on, somebody. That all should come to repentance. That's why Matthew teaches us in 24, when the gospel is preached around the world, and then it's going to, how many of you know there's still places to reach? What do you think we're in this worldwide ministry, vision, victory, outreach, round for hope, united we can? Come on, somebody. Sometimes people are like, man, why don't we get money over there? Why don't we get money over here? Listen, maybe you can't go in the match on the physical, but bite into this vision and understand and realize that we are reaching the world for Jesus. And we're not just the only one. We're just doing our part. All right? So coming down to it. But they thought it was the end times. I always tell people this. I always ask me a question. Was Jesus really coming back? I always tell people the same thing. I tell them all the time. Listen, if you accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, why are you tripping? Why are you waiting for the eastern sky? Or why are you waiting for a big old sign? You should be walking with him, serving him, doing whatever you can. Find your little power spot. Find your original occupation. Even if you have a regular job, even if you have a family, even if you have whatever, there's still room in a place where you can serve. Come on, somebody. Why does it always have to be the men's home and the women's home? It doesn't have to be that way. But thank God that they're there. Thank God that we can make a phone call and some of these guys, you know, some have say, some are tripping and this and that. And, you know, we still take our chances. They tell me, hey, Pastor, can I go get a drink? No. Why? Because last one burned me. He went and got a little miniature. He said, so you're not going to burn me? Yeah, but I'm not like that either. Once a sinner, always a sinner. Come on, somebody. Hey, I'll tell you one thing about me. You burn me one time. And that's you better do the best job because you're not going to burn me again. Come on, somebody. How many guys taste one to know one? How many know that we've been there? How many know that we've been there? We know what's up. We know what time it is. But we also want to take our chances. We want to believe in people. We want to trust people. You want to think, hey, Jesus took a chance with you and I. Hello, somebody. Somebody took a chance with you. Somebody invested in us. Somebody put up with us. Somebody did whatever they had to do. It was God. You know, if God could have had it another way. Remember Adam and Eve when they messed up? He could have just, man, forget these guys. Forget it. No, instead what did he do? He restored them. He worked with them. He didn't just throw in the towel and just go, this is it. I want to leave you with something tonight. Like I said, this is just something simple. But he says, he told them straight up, invest. Somebody says invest. Somebody says make business. But I like the one that says occupy till I come. See, because the more you do for God, the more you die to self. And a lot of times, you know, we like, oh, I don't have time for myself. Bingo, that's what we want you to do. We want you to die to self. Now, I don't know about you guys. I have a pretty good balance. I'm pretty much prioritized and focused. And if I need to do a side job, I schedule it. If I need to do this, I need to do that. Hey, hold on, let me get back with you. And if I want to go and go down south, I was a Farmer Joe a couple of Saturdays after the 4th of July. I was out there. We have a nice little farmhouse out there with pecan trees. And my mom was trying to dig out ditches. What are you doing? Well, nobody's. No, I'll go over there and help you. No problem. So, you know, I called my ex-heroin connection and a couple of ex-locals, and they're already saved. And come on, bro, how about your breakfast? You're going to have to do just open that little water thing and flood this thing like a little lagoon right there, and we'll be cool, man. You know what I mean? So, but I made time for that. I told Pastor, I'm going to be gone for a couple of days. I'm going to help my mom out. He didn't say, well, how come or why or this. Or, did you ask permission? You know what he said? Go for it. You deserve a break. He didn't say, wait for a break. Come on, somebody. My mom already has a list of things to do. Like, but that's cool, man, you know, just to get away. To get away, and then, you know, of course, you get to fellowship. Sometimes you get to minister in Deming or Las Cruces or El Paso or so with family. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? So either way, you're still within the boundaries. But the point that I'm trying to make, you guys know that hunting season is coming. And when Pastor Danny gets that eye look in his eye, I don't know about him. He got denied for the elk and the deer. I got them both. We're going to be out there in the mountains having fun. That's just the bottom line. So the point is that enjoy life for what it is. It's not just church, 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 church. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? Do the work of the Lord if it takes that. But I want to leave you with something that kind of stuck to me. You know, because how many of you guys know that we're God's creation now? I'm going to leave you with this story. I'm going to get the keyboard. Check this out. It was a stranded car in the road. Put the hood up. And they couldn't get it started. Finally, a limousine pulled up to the side. And this guy got out. What's the matter? We don't know. We can't get it started. So the guy looked at it, opened the hood. Mess with it. Go ahead and start it. Start it right up. And then the guy looked at, hey, thank you. What's going on? What's your name? He said, my name is Henry Ford. I created that vehicle. I know everything about it. Listen, folks, you are a child of God. He created you. He knows everything about you. There is no reason why we should shrink back. There is no reason why we should throw in the towel. There is no reason why we should be tripping. Because God, whatever you might be going through, God will always come in and lift you back up. He knows everything. He knows when we need healing. He knows when you need comfort. He knows when you need encouraging. He knows when you need a little rebuke, hardcore love. Come on, somebody. But he will not let you. All he wants you to do is find your power spot. You can serve in the worship team. You can serve in security. You can serve in the parking. You can serve in the prisons and evangelism. I'm going to throw in a good plug in. Tonight we're going to be going out there. If anybody wants to go, let's go. We're going to be hitting the downtown area and whatever other areas. If you know an apartment complex, take some. Stop the business, car show flyers, course. That's our main focus, our main goal this week. And how many of you know it takes a united effort? It's not a Pastor Danny show. It's not a Joe show. It's a everybody involved. That's how we're able to have now the convention center for Campbell Abu. It wasn't just one church. It was about 50 to 75 churches. And nobody got the credit because we know that God gets all the honor and the glory. Stand to your feet tonight. I want to just challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight that God is able to finish what He started in each one of us. And you might be new. You might be making a come back. The point is that as long as you stay doing something for God, we ain't got time for nothing else. Besides this, how many of you guys remember the story of King Hezekiah? Isaiah chapter 38. King Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the angel of the Lord came and told him, Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, get your house in order, or you're going to die. And you know what? Hezekiah turned to God. He said, God, you know my heart. You know what I do. I'm not ready for this. The Bible says that he got God's attention. And then God called the angel of the Lord again and told him, go back and tell Hezekiah that I seen his tears and I seen his heart, how he wants to serve me. Tell him that he's not going to die. I'm going to give him 15 more years to live. How many of you know that 15 years and one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 and one day to the Lord? We're not living in our life. We're living in God's life. It's not your life anymore. I'm the first one to admit that if it won't be for God, I'll be dead right now. I'll be life in prison. So when I came to my senses, I said, well, why not serve the Lord the rest of my days? And it's been 30 years, and guess what? I'm barely getting started. Listen, we're all living in borrowed time. But when that time comes, when you stand before God, and God asks you one question, like he told the, you know, the servants, he gave him some money, go invest. I saved you. I gave you my son Jesus. What did you do with it? Did you spread it out? Did you pass it on? Did you tell somebody? This is Victory Outreach, folks. This is not your regular local church on the street. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the few servants that you have reached, Lord. And Father, most of us, we have dedicated our lives, oh God, to serve you, Lord. And Father, we pray for those that have been added to salvation, oh God, that they will find their power spine. I want to open these altars right now as we worship you. I want to open these altars that you will not just, if you want to answer the call, if you want to find your power spine, you got minister some kind of way. I want to just challenge you tonight. As we worship him tonight, if you're here for the first time and you never accepted Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you a little bit. Let's worship him tonight.
Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing.